take a...
Good afternoon, sir, and what is your name, sir?
This is Myron Clark.
Mr. Clark, who is Mr. Clark? Okay, the Honorable Miss Gail Rittenhouse is going to conduct a hearing, Mr. Clark, so just hold on to the phone, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Could you please restate your full name and your ABC number for the record?
Myron Clark, 21450.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on March 6th when you signed a form. Do you remember signing that form?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, on that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of those is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So, Mr. Clark, did you hire an attorney today, or are you representing yourself?
No, I'm representing myself.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'd like to introduce you to the board. On the video screen to your right at the end is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today. We also have in the room with us the Honorable Mr. Grady, who you will see on screen now. He is with the Department of Corrections, and he'll represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today. So I need to swear to both of you in, Mr. Clark and Mr. Grady. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Clark?
Yes, I affirm.
Thank you. And Mr. Grady?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Clark, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision. And in phase two, we determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, sir, I'm going to read the allegation to you, and I need you to respond whether it is true or false, sir. So we'll start phase one of your hearing, and that the allegation is that you were in violation of condition 12E, as demonstrated by your being in contact with Angie Bermia, the minor victim, via telephonic text messaging on or about February 11th, 2019 at 7.05 p.m. Mr. Clark, is this true or false?
This question is true or false and false.
Okay, but I need one or the other. So which one would you like to pick?
I don't really know how to answer the question, but she's not a victim in any case I've ever had. She is a minor, but she's not a minor victim.
Were you in contact with her by telephone text messaging?
Yes, I was.
Okay, then I'm going to mark that one as true, sir.
Okay.
And based on Mr. Clark's admission, then I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of community supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal aids or company.
Second.
Agreed.
By myself, seconded Dr. White, agreed, Mr. Neal, and Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Clark, we'll move to phase two of your hearing and determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked, sir. But I'm going to ask Mr. Grady to start out here by giving us all some background information. So just stay on the phone. We'll be right back to talk with you some more and ask you some questions, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Grady.
Mr. Clark was released from DOC on February 11th of 2019. He was arrested on February 12th of 2019 by parole staff on a tech violation. No new charges. He was returned back to DOC on February 12th of 2019. He has a CSED of 8/11/2019 that reflects 0 time days. Current conviction, 2017, marijuana violation, 1 year. 2017, resisting arrest, 1 year. 2017, pandering, 2 years, 3 months. Prior convictions, 2007, armed robbery, 3 years. 2012, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. 2012, aggravated assault, 4 years. His 3 terms of DOC, his CUIR scores are 3-4, mental health scores are 3, substance abuse scores are 2. Gang information, he self-admitted to being a member of a Broadway gangster, Crips. Prior term of supervision, 2009, TIS release, completed 5 months. 2015, defendant was released on absolute discharge. Disciplinary violations are significant with drugs noted. Under arrest, 2001, disorderly conduct, Arizona juvenile probation. 2002, escape, second degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 2002, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile probation. 2006, false reporting, emergency response, Arizona County Jail. 2011, resisting arrest, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 2011, marijuana violation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. He has a community risk score of a G7-G8.
Thank you, Mr. O'Grady. Okay, Mr. Clark, back to you. We have a written summary of what occurred while you were on supervision, and it indicates you were released originally to your grandmother's residence on Camelback. Is that right, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
And did you stay there the whole time that you were out?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Were you working?
No, I was waiting for my Social Security because I missed the money. I can only work part-time, so I have to wait until I get Social Security before I go working.
Okay, gotcha. And you were also referred to task, but it looks like you hadn't. You'd probably had you called in with using your PIN number?
Yes, but it didn't show up for the day. I was going out for 1 minute.
Yeah, you didn't show up that day. Okay, so. So what happened that day at the parole office when you stood up and when you were talking to Parole Officer Hayes? What happened?
I got angry because they told me to put me in handcuffs bracelet. I stood up. I didn't reach my face to me. I just stood up. And I told my mom to sit down with me. He told me to sit down. And then I sat down. That was it. Nothing more, nothing less.
Why didn't you want an ankle bracelet?
Because honestly, you felt like that was for people that committed crimes. And that they were pending court, so I didn't understand any of the rest of the thing. I would think I would sign those conditions before they released me versus be surprised to get put on any arrest when I get to the parole office. So it was a surprise to me. It was like a shock. And I didn't really understand like the whole concept of putting me on any arrest and what it was for. He said it's because I was an admitted Broadway gangster or whatever. I renounced my gang several years ago. So that's kind of why I was angry about the ankle bracelet thing.
Okay.
But I understand why he was trying to do it. He was only trying to help me, and I see it that way now.
All right. So you understand now. So, you know you had an injunction not to have any contact with the individual.
No, that's how I actually felt. I've never received any injunction before for it. It just was in condition number 12 of my supervision not to contact Angie Burnett. So when she texted me, I thought it was okay for me to text her back. But if you could leave the text message, it shows you she texted me first. And I just responded. I said, you're too young, and I can't talk to you right now or whatever. And then she texted me back, and I text her back. So but she initiated the texting first. And I didn't really understand if I was doing anything wrong because she texted me first. So she said she didn't have nothing to do with restraining order and all of that. So I thought, well, she had nothing to do with it. And I was even, what does it mean? I didn't understand what the injunction was that I never received
it. Okay, well, just because you didn't receive it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but we have it in your package here. There's a copy of the injunction here.
And it says that she was a victim of some crime I committed, but she's not a victim of any crime I ever committed. She may be a minor, but she's not a victim of any crime I committed. She's never been in any case. I've never been to her. Or anybody like that. My case was undercover persona was who I was talking to about prostitution. That's how I ended up in prison. It was an undercover persona. It was never an actual person. So it never was a victim.
All right, Mr. We don't have any information about that, and that's not why we're here today. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have questions. Mr. O'Neill has a question for you.
Perhaps
or a comment or a comment.
On your Department of Corrections, condition 12, conditional supervision, special conditions. So condition number 12, number E, which you signed on that day specifically, very specifically, and it has nothing to do with that injunction against harassment, it's one of your conditions of release. It says I will have no contact with Angie Bonilla of any kind to include but not limited to in-person, telephonic, social media, email, or third-party person. So You say you didn't get the order against the injunction against harassment, that's fine.
Right.
You signed a conditional release that says you didn't do that, but yet your phone had a conversation, a text conversation, with the person you said you didn't have contact with.
Right, but she texted me first. I thought when she texted me, I could text her back. If you look at the paperwork, it shows she texted me first, and I responded to the answer. I didn't just initiate text messages between her.
This doesn't, so this condition does, it doesn't say, as long as she doesn't text me, I can't text her. It doesn't say, if she texts me first, I can go ahead and text her back. It says, you shall have no contact with her. So if she texts you, then you can't respond. If you respond, you're having contact with her against the condition that you signed. Okay, thank you. No further questions.
Okay, Mr. Clark, if there are no other questions. Mr. Clark, we're coming up to the end of the hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement, but I just ask that you not repeat something you've already told us. Is there anything else you'd like the board to consider? Okay, thank you, Mr. Clark. The board is going to go into discussion, so we do our discussion in public. So, and we've not talked about your case before now. So we just ask that you stay on the phone, listen to the discussion, and we'll be back with you in just a moment, sir.
Thank you.
The board's now in discussion. Mr. Clark was out only for one day. And has misunderstood, evidently, or says he misunderstood, that he wasn't allowed to communicate with Ms. Bonilla. But there's clearly an injunction, and he had signed a condition, clearly. So I am not seeing him as a, because of that, I don't think he can follow conditions very well. So I'm going to not see him as a good candidate to return to community supervision, but I'll listen to the input from fellow board members. And seeing no input, I'm going to make a motion then, and based on information on warrant 2019W0436, a conversation with Mr. Clark, information provided by Mr. Grady of the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision, as Mr. Clark was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or companies, specifically by contacting the victim who he specifically had signed a condition that he would not have any sort of contact with this victim.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded Dr. White. Agreed. Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Clark, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir, and we're showing you with a release date of August 11th of 2019, sir. So at that point, you'll be released. You won't have any parole officer. You won't have any supervision. In the meantime, I hope that you'll be able to take this time to make a good plan so that when you get out in August, you will have a place to live set up and you'll have, you know, some employment possibilities set up. Work with your CO3 and attend any programs you can in the meantime. Okay, should be noted for the record, Mr. Clark chose to leave the hearing at this point. This concludes this hearing.